Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening.
Hey y'all, it's Alante back with another episode of Black and in Grad School. And today I have a dear friend who, hi Key Carrie, we only met like two times?
Yeah. Which, like,
my love, like Carrie, you all have heard from Kelsey, Dr. Kelsey, that was an episode in the 20s and 30s. Kelsey, Brittany, those are two of my dear friends who through I met Carrie. And so I'm super excited that I've been so blessed to have like this amazing group of women around me that, and as a result, I got to meet Carrie, who you guys are going to learn all about and understand why I love her so much. But Carrie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be doing this. And thank you to our great friends. They brought us together. I mean, it really was amazing. I mean, like you said, we've only really been around each other, I think, like twice. But it's always love. It's always a vibe. So
exactly. Like when I met Carrie, I was like, oh my God, you're Carrie. Yes. Oh, I already know you. So,
right.
So let me tell y'all why Carrie's here, because, you know, she's super official. But Carrie is a budget analyst for the federal government. She has an associate's degree in pharmacy technology from Augusta Technical College that she finished while she was in high school. Then she got a BS in psychology from Howard University in Washington, D.C., and an MBA from Chaplin College in Burlington, Vermont. So she has, first of all, like you said, official HBCU grad. Mama got 3 degrees. Money management has become a passion of hers in post-college while she was working at an assets management firm in Alexandria, Virginia. And then she moved to Atlanta for an entry-level government position, and she was able to continue to explore her lifelong passion of songwriting and producing music. So Carrie is absolutely a creative and a scholar and, you know, all over bad B, right? And additionally, her position has allowed her to go get her master's degree for a third of the cost. So we're definitely going to talk about that. And since obtaining her MBA, she is able to achieve her current position in senior level at the IRS. And she's blowing up. We're catching Carrie while we still know her. You know, she's going to know us. So go follow her. But we'll talk about this more. But she is a burgeoning inventor and entrepreneur and social media influencer in the natural hair and beauty community. And when I tell y'all, Carrie has like legit a beautiful face and beautiful hair. So she is in an amazing space. But Carrie, welcome, welcome. I'm just, again, happy to have you here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I'm trying, girl. I'm trying. I'm blowing up. I'm trying.
You're doing it. You're doing it. You are more than trying. You are doing. So it sounds like you really, you know, even some of these things I did not know. Like, I didn't know what you said at Howard. I just, you know, knew you went to Howard, of course. But you know, a pharm tech and then psychology and now an MBA. So, like, what was your path or your thinking from high school to your MBA?
Yeah, so for me, I went to a magnet high school. So, shout out to the best little high school in Richmond County, Augustus Roberson Johnson Health Science and Engineering Magnet High School. I ended up going there because my parents were very adamant about that. I wanted to personally go to a regular public high school, but because I wanted to be a dancing girl. I wanted to be on the field. But my parents were like, no, since I did tell them when I was a kid that I wanted to be a doctor, and since they had a high school that was involved in health science and healthcare, they had me apply there. I got in, and they had a program for juniors and seniors where you could go to the technical college, Augusta Tech, and basically learn everything about pharmacy technology, like how to be a pharmacist. We were learning from an actual professor there. We did half days, and then the other half we would go to the tech school. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be a pharmacist. You know, that was my thought since I got into this program. And I mean, I was doing well in it, so I thought that's what I wanted my life to be. And of course, you find out, people start talking to you about how much money you'll make. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely down. Once I got to college, though, because I was a biology major when I first started at Howard, and I was like, no, I realized I was not about that life. Organic chem was actually the class that got me up out of there ASAP. Mm-hmm. I was one of those people. Yeah. I mean, I was one of those people who all throughout, I mean, really most of my life, I really didn't have to study hard. So if you have bad study habits, then you take them into college with you and you realize, oh, things are much different here. So organic chemistry, that was my realizing, no, this isn't going to work. But psychology was actually something that I had always been interested in, but I thought my parents wanted me to be a pharmacist. When I got to that point where I realized that organic chem was like really beating me down, I talked to my parents about switching majors, and they were like, we didn't tell you you had to be a pharmacist. So luckily I had their support. So I switched to psychology. I loved it, began to like flourish, and just took it from there. After college, I ended up having to work as a pharmacy tech for a little while, which wasn't a problem. I say having to work, you know, because, you know, I was living off of refund checks for a while there during college. So once you have to get a real job, I started there and I realized how difficult it was being a pharmacy tech. It's a very taxing job on your body. You're standing up for 10 to 12 hours a day. So I realized that wasn't really my vibe either. And so I just so happened to be friends with someone from Howard, and he told me about a job at an asset management company in Virginia. And the lady was a Howard graduate herself. She owned her company. It was like Black Girl Magic, because I was like, oh my gosh, this Black woman is managing $1 billion worth of assets. Of course, I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I was like, hey, I want to go. I want to learn. And that's when I got into the interesting side of money to me. It wasn't cash money, but it was still money. And being exposed to that helped me decide that, okay, money management is something that I like. I want to try and do something having to do with that.
Got it. And thank you for painting that picture, because I think sometimes we do a couple of things that I think happens a lot is, first, we find ourselves living a life that we think someone else would be satisfied with, not us. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there might be some of you all listening who maybe you're going to graduate school or in graduate school thinking that somebody else really wants you to do it, or you recognize that maybe you don't have the full support, but you are doing what you want to do and what makes you happy as you make this track and go on this journey. And then also, like Carrie, you didn't have any issue pivoting, right? Like, okay, you know what, this is not working, I'm gonna pivot. But also, when you finished, you use the skills you did have to in the meantime, right, until you were able to find something to again to try out, and then you ended up really, really enjoying. And being open is like the last thing I feel like I heard, is like being open, because I know if I was a psychology major, I don't know if I would immediately say my skills are transferable to money management. I mean, like, but I think that's super dope that you were able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of that came from, I'll say, when I was working as a pharmacy tech, I wasn't making a lot of money either. And for me, I am still to this day very much, I want to do it on my own. I am a very independent person, and it's a problem sometimes. My mom will tell you, I get on her nerves so bad about this, because So with me being the baby, my sister is 8 years older than me and my brother is 12 years older than me. So I've always seen everybody else taking care of themselves without any help. So I wanted to be that person. And when it came to me not making that much money and I was struggling, I didn't want to have to ask anybody for money. So budgeting and money management for my personal self became something very big for me. So then to see that, okay, there's a money management, like, firm. I guess I really hadn't thought about it before, but once I was exposed to it, that's how I realized, oh, okay, this is something that I'm passionate about, not just personally, but in general.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. You know, personal motivation is enough to get you indoors or in opportunities that you maybe didn't originally like seek, but again, finding a place that you really loved. And so now you have this career, you know, in the financial industry. And what happened that you decided, okay, it's time for me to go back to school?
Well, the IRS had a government-wide, I guess, I don't know if it was government-wide though, so let me not say that. It was a program that was created in which they were allowing people to go to whatever, well, I guess it was a list of grad schools that were available. And it wasn't even just grad school. It was, you could get your bachelor's degree, or a professional degree online for only a third of the price that everybody else was paying just because you were a government employee. So it wasn't until I decided that I needed to, that I wanted to move back home and get, and once I got that job, once I was in the, I think I had been there for maybe a year, then you were eligible. So once I found out about that program, I was like, oh, wow. Like, okay, I can do that. Like, I guess my biggest deterrent for a while with going back to school was paying for it. I really did not want to take on more student loans. I did not want to, you know, have more of a burden on me. Because like I said, at that point in time, I really wasn't making that much money. So it was like, what's the point in going further in debt if I'm not sure by the end if I'll have the outcome that I want? And I honestly as well, I will say, because at that point in time, I was back in Atlanta and I was working with people and songwriting and all of that. I thought that was going to be what I did. But once the opportunity gave itself to say, okay, you can go back to school too while you're here doing whatever you're doing, I was like, okay, I might as well just do it because it's a third of the price. I can still do what I want to do, but also have a backup plan if things don't work out.
Yeah. And I get that. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're kind of told we have to pick one path, you know, and it sounds like you really made space for all of your, you know, the things you're passionate about. And then also just being realistic with yourself, you know, with like, okay, what works for Carrie is having a backup plan. Like that's what works for Carrie. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. And we don't discuss that a lot. Like it's almost like, cause I'm someone also like, I absolutely love the entrepreneurial space. And I also very much, I love getting a check every 2 weeks.
Like, hey, come on now. There ain't nothing like it.
Okay. You know, and for me, it's like, I recognize it a trade-off, but it's like, but also there's a security and a comfort that I need so that I can even be creative, right? Because I can't be creative if I'm worried about a check. I just cannot.
Exactly, right. And you can't sit there and be stressed and still be willing, you know, be open to the creative environment. Absolutely not, because my mind is thinking, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to, like, it's distracting.
Yeah, we on the same page. This is why I love Carrie, y'all. One of the many reasons, right? Like, we met and immediately vibed. So you are in this program, you're in Atlanta, you know, songwriting and taking off in this career in two kind of like spaces at the same time, and a grad student. So like, how on earth did you manage all of this?
Ooh, child. Anne was in a serious relationship at the time. Like, it was long and long distance. So I was trying to make time for everything. And I honestly, I think because my work schedule was so strange. So initially when I first started there, I was working from 3 to 11:30. Then in my second year of grad school, I was working from 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. So I was up at the crack of dawn or up until midnight. Like, that was my life. And so I would say this, because it was a strange time that I had available, that other people say either were working or they were asleep, I was able to get things done during the off times. I didn't have as many distractions, you know, oh, the homies are up or somebody's texting, and, you know, no, people were either asleep or they were busy at work. So I would say that was the main thing. And then as it pertains to schoolwork, since it was all online as well, I mean, I'm gonna just be honest here. In between me helping taxpayers and all that stuff, because at that point in time, that's what I was doing. I was actually talking to people and, you know, doing people's actual tax returns type stuff hands-on. When we had downtime, I had a window open on my computer behind my regular work with schoolwork up. And I would, you know, answer the message boards or, you know, type a little bit of a paper while I'm sitting there, because I was like, I really don't have the time to do all of this, but I know I'm getting this degree. So, you know, and the thing was as well, they were nobody ever pulled me to the side about doing it, but supposedly they were screen recording us. Hey, if y'all pull me to the side and say, Carrie, you know you shouldn't be on, okay, I'll close it out. But I'm at least trying to get part of it done. So, you know, I just had to make it work that way. Yeah.
Wow. And you know, you really have a expertise that we all need right now. Like, this is my first time taking a bunch of, well, I'm in my last class, but I'm taking a class online, completely online. And like, oh my God, I hate it. I hate looking at the screen. Yes. I hate having to pay attention. And so, do you have any tips for us who are, you know, our graduate students online, of course, due to the pandemic, and like what kind of some sort of things we need to kind of like can do to stay focused?
Well, for me, okay, so the difference here is that for you guys who are taking actual classes online, like where somebody's lecturing, luckily we did not have to do that at all. I would say that the program that I was in was more so a, you know, you're just teaching yourself kind of thing. And it wasn't because it was a third of the cost. I don't want anybody to say it's because it was cheap. No, there were other people who were regular students in the class. So it was just a lot of message boards. And we did have some like conversational things, but it wasn't that in depth. It wasn't like you had to sit in a lecture weekly. So that's the difference there. But to stay focused, I was so strapped for time that I had no choice but to stay focused. Just go ahead and put your phone on do not disturb. Like, there, you just have to know your triggers, I would say, because for me, if I'm not doing something with my hands, my phone is going to end up in my hand and I'm scrolling, I'm looking at something. So you know, do not disturb, and or there are a few different apps that you can use that say if you don't touch your phone for a while, it'll grow a tree, you know, that type of stuff to just get you to not touch that phone. I'm notorious for it. So I would say those are my main things. And then doing my work during off hours was great for me because it really did keep me from having anything to do. Like, I had nobody to entertain me. You know, can't go and chat with Bae for a while. Sleep, you know. So there were those, I guess I really don't have that many great tips, but that's really what helped me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your life was, you know, structured in such a way that it just was conducive to staying focused. Yeah. Okay. And so what was it like, you know, it sounds like you maybe didn't, did you get to know like your cohort or people that were in your classes or not really?
Not really, unless we were put together for a group or something, you know, for a project. Okay. Yeah. But some of them did work for the IRS as well. You know, those people who were in the same program. So you did get to talk to people about, oh, where do you work? What do you do? What do you guys do there? Because the organization is kind of all over the place. Certain things happen in certain parts of the country and that don't happen in anywhere else within the organization. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty interesting to learn more about, which is kind of funny. I didn't even think about that. I was learning more about the organization I was working for through school.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool though. That's super mm-hmm. cool. So I don't know how much we'll get from you from this next question, because I, of course, I always ask the name of the podcast, being Black and in grad school, you know, what was it like for you, you know, as a Black woman in this MBA program, and like how did that influence your experience, or like the way you viewed your experience?
Oh man, no, this question is still relevant. So let me start back a little bit. So because coming from an HBCU, going to a PWI, even though it was online, that was a big surprise for me. It was very different, I think. But the first thing that was a surprise for me was the fact that I didn't have to register myself for anything. I didn't really have to do anything but just log on to the computer. There were people they were like, this day is registration. I was online. I was ready, because I was ready to fight to get into classes. And for me, that's a positive about HBCUs. They teach you, you got to be ready. If you want to do something, you got to do it. But they went ahead and registered me for everything. And then with being in the classes, even though we're all online, they make everybody upload a picture of themselves. There was still that little bit of, I'm not going to say it was racism, but I feel like it was just people being ignorant, probably having mm-hmm. not been around any or many Black people mm-hmm. Before. So you did get the feeling as though they were surprised about certain things that you might know or have already mm-hmm. been exposed to. And it's like... Mm-hmm. And also not knowing what an HBCU is. What is that? And, you know, so it was very difficult for me, and especially because the city I come from is very Black. The high school I went to, Magnet High School, but majority of the people were Black. And then I went to a Black college. So for me, then encountering that sort of feeling was new. Because I'd never experienced really white people that often, and I guess that in depth. It was more so just trying to not necessarily prove myself, but to like prove their, like trying to make sure they understood I am as smart as what I am. Like, don't try and play with me like that. You know, yeah. I'm here for a reason. So,
right.
And, yeah, I have and we're in the same class.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So that was definitely a big thing, even though we were online. And I really, you know, I tried to make it a point to not upload my picture at first. But the teachers, usually the first day of class, they wanted you to write a blurb about yourself and upload a picture. And I was always like, I don't want, as the classes went on, I was like, I really don't want to upload a picture of myself, because I already mm-hmm. know how it's going to go. So, yeah. It was very interesting. And there were very few Black people as well in the program. And I don't know if that's because part of them might have been in Vermont. You know, it's a sea of salt. We're going to be a sprinkle of pepper in there. that might have been just their norm. That was my experience. I got my degree. That was what I was there for. So, you know. You got it, and you got to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, I don't even know why I assumed that there would somehow not, that would not be a factor. I guess I just was trying to like, oh, maybe because it's all online, you don't have those issues. But you're right, you know, there's this almost that surprise can be really like offensive. Like, mm-hmm. why are you surprised I know things?
Very, very, very offensive, because I'm just like, bro, I've been smart from the start. Like, you don't know me. I wouldn't automatically assume anything about you. Why are you doing that about me? But, you know, people have those biases, internal bias that they, I guess, don't even know that they have. So it was crazy, though.
Yes, it sounds like it. But, you know, you made it through. And also, you know, like you, it sounds like you also were exploring this creative side, which I want to talk more about, because now, you know, you're continuing to be in the creative side, right? Like in the creative space. How did the songwriting and your work in that space kind of morph into what you're doing now? First of all, tell us what you're doing now. How about we start there? What are you doing now?
So I currently am exploring the world of beauty influencing for natural hair and makeup and et cetera. I'm trying to make sure that I'm a little more multifaceted. So right now I'm doing that on at Carrie Contours on Instagram and on YouTube. If you search Carrie Contours, Carrie with a K and Contours with a K. And that honestly came from me just dabbling in makeup. I guess maybe a few years after college, I just really wanted to figure out how to make myself look cute. So I went to YouTube University, watched all the old YouTubers, and kind of just went from there. And I had always kind of had an interest in beauty. My whole life. I stopped my mom from doing my hair when I was like in middle school because I was like, I want to do it, you know. And then it just, you know, as time went on and all throughout college, because money was short and I wasn't trying to spend on certain things, I was perming my hair, I was dyeing my hair, bleaching it, you know. Yes, I have dyed my hair, and no, bleached my hair, and it accidentally turned green. Hilarious. But so that's just kind of a big-ish part of me. So I just decided, well, let me just record. I mean, everybody else is recording it. Let me just record it and throw it out there and see what we get. Yeah, but I'm trying to really cultivate it into a full-on brand. And I'm still exploring where I really want to go with it. But that's what I'm doing currently.
Okay. I can't remember. It's like, it's a blur if I met you at homecoming or if I met you at Kelsey's birthday. But I remember your makeup at Kelsey's birthday, though. I do. Because that was you started Carrie Contours. And then Carrie and Kelsey had you do her makeup. And I was like, oh my God, like, she does such a good job. Why doesn't she record this so that I can now learn how to do some makeup? Because let me tell you, I don't do nothing. I barely fill in my eyebrows, especially with COVID. Like, I've been out here looking rat.
Oh, girl. If I didn't have Carrie Contours, I would be looking like who shot John and why all the time. Okay,
look, and you keep me inspired because of that, right? Like, just really, you do a really good job of doing like natural beauty. To me, I'm not gonna like some. You definitely still have your like super avant-garde, dope ass, super pro looks, but like I really, you know, as a regular degular woman, I really appreciate seeing, okay, how does how make my skin look, my skin this how, you know, like even I sent you a message a couple weeks ago about like the, you know, the magnetic lashes thing, because I don't get it. I don't get it, you know. And Carrie had a wonderful blog post so that now I can wear my magnetic lashes that I bought because I couldn't figure out how to get them on my eyes. And, you know, just like different things. I think that especially like for us as graduate students, we still want to be cute, you know, we still want to look nice. And you have, I think you have a page that caters, you know, not only to us, but of course, like true beauty enthusiasts, right? Like wherever you fit in that spectrum, I think like Carrie has a really great page for you to like enjoy, you know, without it being like that intimidation feeling that, you know, with like Jackie Aina. I can't do nothing she do. I don't even watch it.
See, that's who I started with. And I originally started buying like expensive, like makeup and stuff. And I was like, bro, how do you keep up? Like, I'm not being gifted anything. So let me go find the, you know, less expensive stuff. And honestly, that was one of the things that made me want to start my page, was because, you know, to have somebody who does not have the experience out here buying a $50 bottle of foundation, that's not right. Like, that's not okay, because they might not know what they're doing and that'll be a waste of their time. So that was my thought process. Like, I really did, when I first started dabbling in makeup a little bit after college, I was buying $8 like stick foundation from the grocery store. Like, they have a little beauty aisle And it did me just fine. So, so for me, I want to help people who, like you're saying, like you're interested in it, but you're not trying to be, you know, one of these doing the crazy looks and all that other type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I decided to rebrand a little bit, because I felt like I was doing makeup, but I'm not really that person who's all makeup all the time either. Like I am regular most of the time. So that's why I was like, okay, let's bring in my other interests. I'm interested in hair. I'm interested in fashion. I'm interested in, you know, self-care and self-improvement. So that's why I had to, you know, just pivot a little bit within the same thing as well.
Of course. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's amazingly dope. And of course, y'all know I'm biased because this is my homegirl, but I'm still going to tell you to go check her out because it's really, really cool. And so what I was going to follow up, well, what I was trying to like start the question with, but I think now that everyone has the context, how did you kind of morph from the, you know, within the creative space from like songwriting and that kind of creative endeavor to this, like, or are you doing both now still?
Well, I am still songwriting because I feel like that's something that I'm going to always do.
Okay.
Because I started writing songs when I was 13 years old. That's when I wrote my first song. I was in a singing group with some of my friends when I was a kid. We tried our hardest. We were doing a lot of stuff that we were excited about. We got invited to an MTV show back when they were doing what was that dance show that they had where people would come? Oh, it's where the Jabberwockies were found. America's Next Dance Crew or something like that.
Yeah. See, it's something with America and talent and dancing.
Yeah. So they were trying to have a singing version of that. We did get invited. So, you know, that didn't work out because the show never came out or something like that.
Okay,
but anyway, yeah. But anyway, so that music is just one of my things. Like, it's always been a part of me, will always be a part of me. So I am still writing. Originally, I was trying to be an artist. Once I realized that the way the social media stuff is with artists and all that, that helped deter me from even wanting to do that. So songwriting became my focus. And now, as an adult, I really don't want people in my business or anything like that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I did take a pause. I took a little time off, especially when I moved back to DC 2 years ago for my current position. Now I've been able to move back to Georgia. So I'll be moving back to Atlanta very shortly. And I do plan on working with my writing partner then, and, you know, just planning to write for other people. So very excited about that. And I'm just going to try and do it all, like, because I even still have entrepreneurial stuff that's different from Carrie Condors that I'm interested in. I just feel like I'm all over the place, but I used to see that as being a negative. But now I'm just like, who said that you had to do just one thing? So
sure,
I want to do it all.
Yes. Well, you know, I of course, am always going to support you wherever I can.
Thank you.
And of course, and, you know, just here to root for you and, you know, Candy making all the money songwriting. So to me, you know, it seemed like the way to get the bag if you're going to be in the space.
Oh, for sure. And that was like, once I realized, because the guy that I write with now, he really put me on, he's a published songwriter. He's a published, guitarist. He's done a lot of stuff. He knows a lot of people in the industry. So he was able to explain to me how things really work, got my publishing put in place. I was like, wow, you know, such a blessing to know somebody who knows the business and who can tell me, oh, this is how you get paid. So I was like, okay.
Right. Yeah. That's dope. Yeah. Well, I love all of the above. And I definitely am someone who absolutely believes in like doing, you know, pursuing your passions, right? And like the fact that we don't have to be just one thing, like you said, we can be many things at once. And, you know, if they're fulfilling, that's what's most important, is that you're doing something that you love and it's fulfilling to you. And it sounds like you found those things in many ways. And also, you know, monetizing them does not.
Yes, that means.
Great.
Hey.
Exactly. And so I hope you all listening are encouraged, you know, if you have something that you're interested in or wanting to do or thinking about doing, you know that you can do all of them. You don't have to be just a graduate student, or if that's what your aim is to be, you can also do that too, you know?
Right.
So just a great, great little story of a way to encourage y'all. And so Carrie, we always end my episodes with lessons from the trap. So I want to know what you've got for us.
All right. So I had to go back. I'm a Southern gal. So I had to go back, and I was able to pull Outkast, In Due Time. That is my song right there.
Mm-hmm.
It has CeeLo on it. You just keep your faith in me. Don't act impatiently. You'll get where you need to be in due time. Even when things go slow, hold on and don't let go. I'll give you what I owe in due time.
Love that. And you can sing. Oh, this is the first time anyone's ever sang Gustin from the Trap. I love it.
Oh. And that wasn't really singing. That was just... So y'all be like, I see why she's not an artist now.
No. I love that. So tell us what it means to you.
So for me, that is really about refocusing on the things that matter. Don't get caught up in everything else that's going on around you. You will get there when it's your time to get there. And for me, that was something I really struggled with for the longest, because I was like, oh, well, I need to have this by 25, this by 30, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to have nothing by no time. You can't create your own timeline. It's not up to you. So just keep your faith. Don't act impatiently, and you'll get there in due time.
Perfect. I love it. So Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your story, or part of your story. We're excited to see where you continue to go and flourish. Where can we find you in these internet streets?
Yes. So first off, on my website, www.carriecontours.com. That is KerriKontours.com. And that is also my handle on Instagram @CarrieContours. I am on Twitter partially @CarrieContours. And yeah, those are all my handles.
Perfect. And they will be in the show notes, y'all. So you can go follow Carrie, show her mad love, do some of her looks, and then tag her. You know what I'm saying? I want to do one of those again and send it to y'all. Y'all can see. But see, my makeup is not there yet. But if I find a soft beat that she did.
Yes.
Yeah. So Carrie, thank you again. And we're all set.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course, love. All right, y'all.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blacken in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackengradschool.com. That's blkingradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.